Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, the man who in a pickup game of basketball posterized Superman, I present to you the one and only Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast.
Yeah. All right.
Kick it off.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, everyone out there in the internet world, iTunes, Stitcher, MFCA, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, this is the Mr. National Podcast. This may not be the podcast you want, but it's the podcast you need. Okay? Because we know, B-Double, myself, Smokestack's on with us today. We know you could be listening to a podcast with Joe Rogan, with Ray yep. Lewis,
yeah.
Any celebrity you want.
All these talking.
Talking
anybody
ahead.
Can listen. Anybody yeah. can listen to them, okay? They're celebrities you might want. But if you want to hear the input and info from a couple just regular old dudes, P-Double and Mr. National, you have tuned in to the right podcast, and we want to thank you. Welcome.
Excellent intro. Excellent.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
You're gonna get it unfiltered, unabashed. No hold barred.
Right.
Hey, I mean, right.
From your everyday ordinary knuckleheads.
And that just came off the top of my head, man.
Yeah,
I was just, that was good.
It sounded like you read it. It sounded like you read what Smokestack might have written.
It must have been that long cruise, that rest you had. You are refreshed.
My battery is recharged. Every so often I go thumbing through the pictures I took. At some point, I got to put them on, put those pictures up, and just, it was great getting away with my parents and everything, but the downside is they're old, okay? And they do the same exact thing every day. The ship is as big as the biggest mall you could ever walk into. It's like King of Prussia Mall out on the ocean. You could go 1,000 places and sit and catch sun or sit by the pool, whatever. They go to the same exact place at the same time every day of the cruise. And then, hear me out, guys. This is probably a third or fourth trip on the same ship making basically the same stops. And they go to the same islands. You know what I mean? An island, you go to St. Martin, and they have maybe 10 different beaches to go to. And they'll go to the same exact one every time. So, great being with my parents.
Familiarity breeds respect.
I guess. So,
why don't you talk about the first order of business after you get through all the administrative details, the passports, the check-in? When you get on the boat, what's the first thing that you get from your father?
Oh, I get his Diamond Club card. Diamond Plus.
What does that do?
His Diamond Plus State Card room allows me access into the very, very exclusive Diamond Club. And from 4:30 to 8 p.m., nonstop alcohol, drinks, finger food. They have fried shrimp. They'll have steak empanadas, wings, spicy wings. They're all different kind of varieties of little food. Cheese. It's just beautiful, right?
Not well drinks either, top shelf.
Top shelf. I was drinking old fashions, Manhattans, rum punch, sidecars, all cruise long. Pops don't drink. So I come
You're
in.
You're making
you know,
up for it.
Yeah, I'm making up. So I come in, you know, I got the full beard. And I'm a brother, okay? So I'm a brother. There's not too many brothers in there or sisters. There's a few, not many. And then as young as I am, because a lot of people that said Diamond Plus and Pinnacle, they're old folks. They're retired. So when I come in through the door, you flash your card and the door opens and you go in. So maybe after two, three nights, everybody knows me. And then you paper up your waiters, guys that bring it, and you paper up the bartender, and you're in.
How much paper are we talking about? 25?
Just a couple, maybe like a 5 or a 10 right at the start. Right, you know, and then
yeah,
right from the thing, take this, you know, here you go, buddy, right here. And they know
you got facial recognition for the rest facial, of the
crew. Right. Facial recognition, and they know this guy tipped. So that's how you roll on World Caribbean, and that's what I do.
Wow.
I did, but it comes with a price, fellas. The drinking, the Mr. National partying. I got to go to the doctor on Tuesday.
Why is that?
I gotta check my cholesterol, my blood pressure. They want to go up my ass. They want colonoscopy. What's the thing they saying I should be getting soon?
A colonoscopy. Oh man.
And I'm like, dude,
that's no joke.
That's not that like, bad.
Yeah, that's what they say. One thing.
When he puts his finger up your ass, and you could tell what college he went to by his ring. Oh, you a Michigan man? He said, "Just let me get the tip in." He's like knuckle deep in you, and then they turn you on your side and cross your legs. Heat up, and then you hear that rubber glove and that Vaseline. It's not so bad. You say, "How often I got to do this?" Just another 10 years. But the good news is, if you get the results and you don't have any polyps, you're good. But if they start talking about, "Well, we got to go back and do some more exploring," there's a problem. You do not want any colon issues,
right?
Well, yeah, listen, keep it clean.
But I don't even know why you're going so soon, because that's usually for gentlemen over 50. And last I heard, you were only like 42.
43.
You're getting bad advice.
Well, they just saying it's getting close.
Okay.
And you know, they talk about what runs in the family and all that stuff. So
okay.
That kind of stuff.
But I'd imagine you, 10 days on this cruise?
12.
You probably put like 9-10 pounds on. You looking like
eight.
Like the Hulk.
Right. I'm walking around looking like cracking plastic coach of the year Brian Phillips. I got a gut on me like that.
Your shirt starting to ten out on you?
Yeah. I had to open up a couple belt loops and stuff. So the cruise was good. I got back last night. I was at the Belle Biv DeVoe concert.
Man,
at Parks. At Parks Casino.
That's going way back into the 80s, 90s, right?
Dude, right, there you go. So that 80s. Well, they were New Edition first. They did a lot of New Edition songs. Great show. And then I stayed up there at Parks Casino, gambled a little bit, and waited for the Conor McGregor fight. And he knocked the dude out in the first round. It was incredible. The place was going nuts. So great trip with the cruise. I'm thinking about doing it next year. We'll see how it goes. It'll be great.
I'm going to crash it.
I know. I got to put the link on. With all the stops and everything, for all the EF guys that might want to go, the ship pulls out of Bayonne, New Jersey. So it's kind of centrally located.
Seriously.
You fly into Philly and just leave from my parents' house on the bus.
So it leaves from Philly or New Jersey.
Yes.
It goes all the way down there?
Yeah.
How long does it take to get down there?
Well, you at sea for 2.5 days. Two and a half days. I'll recap the trip real quick. We get like one of those big tour buses with the bathroom in the back, 48-seater.
Right.
And everybody load their luggage on. You know, you pay the money for the bus and everything, and boom, we take off. It's like a 2-hour ride maybe to Bayonne, New Jersey. Bus pulls you right up. You unload your luggage, you tag it, all the shipyard guys take your luggage away. You put your stateroom is all tagged up. My mom has everything done. And you just put that tag on and you start walking through
all these champions. Please report.
Right. All passengers report. So you go through the check-in thing. They take your picture, you get a you They take your security picture, check your passport, all your paperwork, and then you're going through the gateway to get on the ship. Wow. Get on the ship, right? You get on the ship now. Sometimes they don't have your room ready, so everybody huddles around, like, the eating area. They have that open, the buffet. And when the room is open, you go to your room. Your bags are at your door for the most part, and your CPAS card is in your door. So you pull that out and put it up to your door, and it opens, and you go in. And now from that point, the only thing you have to do, they're going to call every single passenger to a certain location for the safety video. It's like a 20-minute film you watch, you know, the do's and don'ts of what to do on the ship. And then after that, the captain comes over and he says, welcome and enjoy your cruise. And everybody's just going to which way. Now, for the first couple of days, it's cold.
Right.
Because you leave in New Jersey. So it's, right. It's cold. But the ship has two areas, large areas, pools and hot tubs, that's totally enclosed. Okay. Man. So you could be in the water. You could see shows. You could do everything. So we left Sunday afternoon. I think the Eagles game was coming on when we left. The Eagles were playing the Seahawks. And we took off, and I think we got to San Juan, Puerto Rico was our first stop. We got there, I think, I want to say Tuesday afternoon. And then from that day forth, you had to stop every morning. Boom, 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 boom. And then you back fly, start sailing home. For 2.5 days on the at sea.
How long are each stops? How long are you on land?
You stop? Like at an island stack, at an island, you're probably there like 10 hours, I think. Or 10 hours. You stay there for a good long time. They have the brochures on the bed of all the shore excursions, everything you could do off the ship, and they give you a whole docket of things to do if you don't want to get off the ship. So they got everything's covered. Every age group is covered. The shows are top-notch. The food is phenomenal. You're eating food from all over the world, basically. You know, all types of food.
When you're on the land stops, do you get free food there, or you have to pay for that?
No, that's totally out of pocket. Okay. You know what I mean? And the drinks. You know, that's the island. That's their source. You're on their dime. That's their source of income.
Okay.
They're offering food, you know, so you get all the island food from there if you want to eat. Me too much, you guys know I'm a little frugal. So I say, you know, why am I paying to eat when I get back on my ship? I can
eat
like
and eat for free. Including the midnight buffet, right?
Yeah, right. So I don't really eat too much, because once I eat a breakfast, okay, usually get to these islands 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm up. I have a breakfast. I'm ready to get off the ship. I get some towels or whatever if you're going to go to the beach. Figure out where you're going and what you're going to do. Some of the stops, the shops are right off the ship. As soon as you get off the ship, there's 1,000 shops you can go to. So if you want to go to a beach, you got to get in a cab or something. Some people do. Some people don't. Like I said, I usually hang with my parents. We usually do the same thing every trip. It's two stops that we definitely go to the beach. The other stops, we just walk the shops and then come back on the ship.
Wow.
So that's it. And I just, like I said, I want to say again, thanks to everybody listening to the podcast. This is the Royal Caribbean cruise that I've been talking about. The ship is the Anthem of the Seas.
And if you book a cruise now and put Mr. National in the promo code, you can get 25% off.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
No,
how many cruises have you been on? Like 4 or 5?
Yeah, maybe 7.
Damn,
6 or 7, I think. I lose count.
How about you, Pete Dub? You been on a cruise?
No, man. I'm afraid I'm going to get seasick or something.
That's possible.
Well, they have this thing. You can take a pill.
I'd need that.
Well, I see some people walking with a little round piece of tape, like a little round band-aid behind the ear.
Like a nicotine patch or something, right?
Yeah, and that fixes it.
Huh. I'll be darned.
We had a little rough weather, but it's
for being.
It's no more than having hanging out with Smokestack drinking all night, and you lay down in the car, and the car is moving. If you can put up with that, you can put up with it.
They tell you not to drink the water or eat their salads. Like if on the boat, you're okay, but you don't like eat.
Food you don't go into Jamaica.
You're not going to eat tacos from a side cafe or something like that.
No, everything, I mean, everything is cool. I've never heard of anybody getting sick. I mean, I've heard those stories in Mexico somewhere, or they were poisoning people, but this Southern Caribbean cruise is legit.
Yeah.
Like I say, my parents been going for every year, you know, a couple islands might switch back and forth, but for the most part, I mean, even the liquor stores even know me. So from going in there, you know, you get your white Hennies. I get my collections of scotches stacked. I got some Japanese whiskey, bro.
You gotta, like
200. It's like over $200 a bottle. It was impossible to get, and I got it over there at the island. So very thrilled about that. Stack, listen. Last podcast, me and P Double went through our picks. Today is Championship Sunday. The first game, Kansas City Chiefs host the Tennessee Titans. Let me hear your breakdown, Smokestack, on what do you think will happen, the keys to victory for each team. We'll keep it short.
Okay.
And a score. Yeah.
I like the Chiefs.
Okay.
I think, they just got too much for them. You know, Andy Reid's kind of maligned. But I think the Chiefs are all firing on all cylinders. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. They're playing home. Tennessee's not used to that cold too much. And then you think about the quarterback situation. Tannehill hasn't really thrown that much. And if he tries to all of a sudden become a passer, I think he's going to have a problem.
Yeah.
I think they can stop that big running back. You just got to tackle him up high. You can't hit him low. He's a big dude, man.
He is. And he's got speed.
He's like beast mode with more size.
He reminds me of Eddie George. He reminds me of Eddie George who played with the Titans.
Yeah, but he's more like a downhill guy than Eddie George was. I mean, he's just, man, he's fast and strong.
I'm not taking anything away from
Eddie George.
He's got a decent defense, but I think the Chiefs have just got too much for him. I mean, if you look, they kind of backed in, too. They were, 9-7 or something like that?
the Chiefs. I mean, the Titans, you mean.
The Titans, yeah.
So, Stack, do you see any scenario that the Titans can win? Like, what their keys to winning? What would it take?
No, none at all. It's like me being a porno star. It's not going to happen. So. I say Chiefs all the way.
Okay,
Chiefs. And personally, you know, having can say that I've crossed over a couple decades. I can remember when the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl playing the Vikings, and that was a long time ago.
Man.
That was it. What, the 69, 70 Super Bowl?
Nah, 70. Might have been 70. Yeah. 69 was the Jets and the Colts. Oh, it might be earlier than that, because the Jets and the Colts were 69. I remember that. The promised Super Bowl. That was 1969. So I don't know. I think the Chiefs and the Vikings.
So that's my pick. Did you guys pick in the each week? Leading up to this point, how you guys?
No, we just did.
I was all picked out after the regular season. Okay. I'm done.
What's your score? What's your score? You got the
all
Chiefs.
All right, I got Chiefs 31-17 over the
Titans. Oh wow, okay. You got a win and going away. Much like P Double. P Double had a pretty lopsided score.
I don't want to see it this way, but I picked 24-7 Chiefs. I just don't think. I don't think their offense is going to – if they stop Henry, I don't see what they can
do. Right. Tannehill. That's what Stack alluded to.
We're all seeing the same thing, right?
Right. If we need Tannehill to put this game on his back, can he do it?
I mean, I like Tannehill. He's a good mobile quarterback, and he seems to have a good pocket
presence.
He's
a wide receiver.
But, you know, he threw a couple dimes in that.
Where'd he come from? Miami? He used to play in Miami.
Yeah, he was the Miami starting quarterback, and he was a wide receiver, I think, in high school, so.
That's crazy.
Or a college.
Okay.
Keeping it moving, Stack. Like I said, we got Smokestack, everybody listening to the Mr. National podcast. My Stack with Nat show partner has joined us today. I know everybody listening is like, when are we going to get the Stack with Nat show? when are you guys going to get back in the camera? Get the
fist bumping, boom.
Yeah, get the fist pumping, Stack. We need you out and about. You got to come out of the cage.
I'm going to be out of the cage, but mostly behind camera this year. I don't think I'm going to play. Just loss of passion, you know, especially when you lose as many games I have. This is a year that I probably should really come back in 100%, but I'm just going to be kind of an observer. I'll take a year off, come
what?
Back to my franchise.
You hear this, B-double? Yeah. This guy is
not even
going to
play in
season.
The NFL. I just don't, you can't do it. You know, if you, it's like, don't have the passion, but this isn't, I don't want to steal your thunder. This is your show. So let's move to the NFC, okay? And first all right. of all, Corey, congratulations. Here's a guy, I'm a Vikings fan from my childhood and an Eagles fan because I'm 4-for-4 in the city of Philadelphia. Congratulations for the Niners to get back to the Super Bowl. And I know you were, I was reading a story today, the four Super Bowls they won spread out between the 80s and 90s. And the last one was what, 94?
Yeah, five.
They won five. That's incredible. Now they're back. So, what's
well,
it?
You
one,
don't count your
one
chickens.
For the, one
don't
for the
count
other
your
finger,
chickens.
Right? One for the thumb.
Right. Our what's the word? Our mantra for this playoff is quest for six. Okay, we're trying to get six. So, we got to get back.
A couple of storied Steelers franchises. It's a couple of storied franchises in this.
Absolutely.
NFC
Even this game. When you look at this game, it's huge. The two teams in this game, it's like. Yeah.
I mean, but the Packers,
times, I think they
going back and, I mean, just, you know, and I'm not going way back when the Packers dominated and stuff like that. I want to give a shout out to some Packer fans. Tom Ruznik. I don't know if he listens. Chuck Lawrence, big Packers man. And a good buddy, I call him Ben Sage from the West Coast. Stack knows Ben Sage from way back in the 620 days when we played EF with Fab Five and 620s only. Ben Sage was a coach, EF coach out in the Bay Area Electric Football.
That's
huge
great.
Packer fan and football historian, okay? So I want to give a shout out to all those Packer fans looking for a good game. But when you think back, as P. Double said, the Packers and Niners story franchises, you go back to Brett Favre. He beat us and Steve Young teams a few times when they were hot and kept us out of the playoffs. I mean, advancing in the playoffs, okay?
Right.
And then you got Aaron Rodgers, obviously. We knocked Aaron Rodgers when we had Kaepernick as quarterback, and we knocked those guys out a couple years in the playoffs. So here it is, the number one and number two seeds in the NFC. Me and P-Double already gave our predictions, Smokestack. Keys to the game, how do you see it playing out? And, again, give us the score. Smokestack,
sure.
You have the floor.
Absolutely. I like San Fran. I've been watching them build this team since, over the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, they've got, what, 4 or 5 number one draft picks on the D-line? They picked the D-line. And then, as an embarrassment of riches, they went and got D Ford also. And if
from
you
Kansas
remember
City.
Back, folks in the audience, about 3 or 4 years ago, San Fran had about 2 or 3 people unexpectedly retire early. So they had to change their whole scheme around. They've had injuries. They had that one bad year, 4-12?
Mm-hmm.
So to get where they are today, they've got Jimmy GQ. They call him Jimmy GQ.
Yeah, baby.
Right.
So, me and my wife is like, look, who's this guy on the Niners?
He even looks
good with his helmet on. So, but I definitely think this is San Fran's year. I like Green Bay as well, and Aaron Rodgers is magical, but we're playing what? You're playing in San Fran? Or no, Green Bay.
It's in San Fran.
I like San Fran all the way, and Corey, offline, I told you, Corey said he was worried about a couple things. If San Fran's worried about Jimmy G throwing interceptions or Green Bay really, putting that offensive fireworks up the board, I say just run the ball with Mostert and Coleman. Even Jimmy G can run a little bit and throw it to Kittle. Play the short game, run the clock, got a good field goal kicker. Don't try to get in a shootout with Aaron Rodgers. I think you'll be fine. That defense will carry the Niners to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. That'll be awesome.
Wow. Give us a score.
A score is going to be relatively low score, and I'd say more like 24 to like 14, something like that.
I got to write this down, 24 to 14.
24-14.
Wow, you got us. That would be great.
Wow, so you guys both are looking for a defensive battle, relative defensive battle in Green Bay and San Francisco, because I'm looking for a shootout. I'm thinking it's a shootout, man. I don't know.
I mean, the 49ers have been in shootouts. They had a shootout with the Saints. They had a shootout with the Seahawks. A lot of points on the board. So the 49ers can play both ways.
Both teams.
Their bread and butter is defense.
Right. I don't know, man.
And Smokestack said it. You do not want to shoot out.
So you got, what did you say? 24 to 17?
14.
24-14.
That's okay. A 10-point victory. Yeah. All right. It's gonna be in on the internet for everyone to see.
All right. Well, yeah, for everybody to hear.
Wow, it's embarrassing when you're really wrong, though.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much so.
Hey, throw back to the last episode, National. So I looked it up. The 41-38 game, Chargers and Dolphins.
Right.
The Chargers won that game, 41-38 in overtime. Kellen Winslow blocked that game-winning field goal. Remember back, it was 1982? Yeah. Dolphins quarterback was David Woodley.
Kellen
Winslow, not his son either, the father.
The guy that we like.
Real
Kellen
Winslow.
the guy that really put the played on the field.
like that guy.
Tight end. To me,
Kellen Winslow Sr., the best tight end I've ever seen. I mean,
really,
he was the I like him as the best because he blocked. It was still part of the blocking. He blocked. I mean, Tony Gonzalez probably has all the numbers, but he was really a wide receiver
in a different era too.
Yeah, I mean, he never blocked.
Niners have had some good ones too, Kwalik, some others over the years.
We have Russ Francis. We have Brent Jones. Right. Vernon Davis. So, yeah, we had some good tight ends.
Russ Francis really wasn't Niner born. He played for the Patriots.
He played for the Patriots. Yep. He made his bones with the Patriots. So.
Right.
That's
what you drinking there, Paulie?
It's local Kalamazoo brew, Amber Ale.
Wow. Yeah. It looks good.
It's never too early. Listen, it's never too early. And on the Mr. National podcast, we never tell you what time it is because we always drink them. Our saying is good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Whenever you're listening. On the Mr. National podcast Facebook page, they ask you to enter your hours. So I think I put in there 24/7.
Nice. I like it. Well, flip it. Listen, all smiles on everybody's faces talking about sports because we are three men that love sports, okay?
Yeah.
Now, when you flip the script to politics and P-Double's favorite guy, number 45, Donald Trump, okay?
He's our president.
Listen, he's our president. and Mr. National, everybody knows, don't listen to no news, TV, none of that stuff. So I look forward to getting P-Double and Smokestack. That's how we started every Stack with that show. I turned to Stack after the fist bump. I say, Stack, what's going on in the world? Stack will run it down. I was like, man, this guy's like CNN, okay?
Give it to us.
Hey, guys,
I do watch a lot of CNN, but I try to be worldly. I look at BBC. I read, I try to read a lot of different perspectives because I don't want just one news view facing me. I try to stay away from the TV news. Like, my in-laws watch a lot of Fox News, and that's why their minds are all messed up. You know, they're Republicans. They actually think Trump is okay. But I know for a fact this guy's dirty. And he may not get impeached, you know, in the truest sense. They say there can't be no, if there's no crime, how can you impeach him? Well, if there's no crime, you're talking about acquitting him. How can you acquit someone that didn't do a crime? So it's like a weird riddle.
Right.
But yeah. If you look at actually what happened, he did do a crime. It's called bribery. It's corruption. He's dirty. He surrounded himself with all dirty people. This goes all the way up to the vice president. All of them. They're all dirty, Corey. And, you know, all we got to do is get the women to come out to vote, the young people. It'll be a landslide. But, you know, Trump is, he'll do anything.
Who do you think is going to be his Democratic nomination?
That's too early to tell. I mean, I don't know. I would settle for anyone except anyone but Trump, including the woman. But he's so crooked.
But he didn't say the Republican. He said the Democrat. Who's going to come? Like right? You know what you said? Who's going to be the Democrat?
Well, the Republican's going to be Trump. That's going to be their candidate. The Democrats have several candidates to choose from at this point.
Who do you think that has the best chance to beat him?
I think anybody can beat him. I think anybody.
No. Well, Hillary didn't.
No, this time around, I mean, it's just been such a disgrace and such a. This experience with him as president has been such a disgrace that I think people that don't want him to be president are going to come out to vote in droves in every state, everywhere. People that there's a lot of people that voted for him last time that are not going to vote for him this time. In fact, they're going to come out and make sure that whoever we put up against them is going to get elected. It's anybody but Trump. I mean, it's going to be a landslide. I'm calling that one. I mean, there's a lot of people that love him. His support is unprecedented.
Yes. He's got the whole NRA and now all the gun people behind him. Which is big.
He's got all the xenophobes and the homophobes.
He's got the evangelicals behind him. I mean, he's so dirty that they basically told him, look, we know you're dirty, but if you give us the things that we want, we'll look the other way. Mm-hmm. But lately, he's been doing stuff that's so bad, even the evangelicals are rethinking.
Bailing on him, right. Yeah. Now, the problem is the evangelicals, they'll say, but we can't vote for, you know, candidate B, whoever supports, you know, a woman's right to choose or, you know, socialism, or, you know, but they're bailing on him. They're bailing on him. He's just, his colors have shown, you know, orange.
Okay, orange. was he for abortion or against abortion?
Nobody's for abortion, man. You're for a woman's right to choose. A woman's right to have the control over her own body. Okay.
That, I mean, those are like sticking points.
Those are the sticking points. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
What he's trying to do is unravel the systems behind it, like giving women contraceptive care and having places for them to go, and then whether any government or funding is contributing to that. It's not a lot of money, first of all.
Right.
But those are the things, picking the judges. He's got crooked judges in there now. He's found a way to get judges in there. It's going to take a long time to get them out. If you look at all the crooked stuff he's done, trying to take welfare away.
Yeah.
Well, and none of it he's done legislatively. He's done a lot of it just by the stroke of a pen. He'll call an executive order. And he just, whatever he feels like doing, that's what he's done. Even look in Russia, Putin is trying to do a power play right now. He knows he's going to get out of office, so he's trying to do some things so his power stays, you know, ingrained in that government and that society. But he is so, and he's an embarrassment on the national, global stage too.
Yes,
he's inarticulate. He bounces from thing to thing. Doesn't have a clear strategy. You know, they bombed they bombed our base, and first he jumped out and said there was no casualties. Well, hello, there's 11 guys that got carted out of there with concussions. They had to bunker themselves down.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
What
right.
happened and then to our he missile
said, after
defenses?
After that, he said Iran's backing down. They just bombed our military bases.
Yeah, right.
And they're backing down? I mean, to me, the worst shame of that whole episode was the how he does. It's a disgrace for our military, people that put their life on the line, and you got a guy that won't stand up for them. He's only looking out for himself. Man, I don't know how. I don't know how you can support him at this point.
So what and Paul, you know, you take a lot of heat on Facebook when you do say some of these provocative things. I see a lot of hate mail in there.
People, yeah, a lot of hate.
How
listen,
do you respond to them, man? You can't. That's the thing, as I've learned, is you can't respond to these people. I'm not going to convince anybody. You know, I don't even, my wife looks at me and just shakes her head. Why do you put that stuff on there? You're not going to change anybody's mind. I don't know. I just want to get that like from Smokestack.
Yeah. You got it. You got it. The truth, I tell you.
Listen, and you on a cruise, some they had made a call. They wanted all first responders and people of the military and everything to come down. I guess they wanted to congratulate, just get them all together, all the passengers that were first responders, military, ex, current, blah, blah, blah. Come on down to the so-and-so theater. We'll probably bring them up on stage. So I got on the elevator with an older white gentleman and his wife, and he was a first responder, retired. He had a Make America hat, Make America Great Again hat on.
Oh, wow.
And another white guy got on, and it was just like, man, great hat. And he said, thank you. He said, yeah, that's a really great hat, man. I'm glad you're wearing it. I was like, wow, they going down to the little thing. I guess they
were. You were on the elevator with two Trump supporters, I can tell you that. Nobody wearing that hat unless you a Trump supporter. Am I right, Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep, yeah. And they're first responders, and those people are, you know, really admirable, whether they're first responders or military or, you know, there's no taking away from what they were willing to do and sacrifice. But I think regarding their choice in leaders, that's misguided. Because he's deceptive. He's not telling them the truth. The truth is important. And if you don't believe it is, that's cynical. And, you know,
well, no,
just
no
misguided.
Politician.
Misguided, no, I think. And it's a wrong choice.
He knows how to touch on that inner thing. It's like if I said to anybody who like ITZ bases, you're the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, hell, everybody used ITZ base. Anybody plays on a 48x24 or larger is the best. That's my, you know, that's my right. target audience. And he'll
right.
play to that, to those things. Once he finds out what you like, then he'll use that to his advantage. Very deceptive. I actually think he's an antichrist. I think he's a second coming. He's terrible. He's the worst. He's that bad, Corey, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So I know just about every podcast, sometimes before we get on air, Pete always say, man, I wish I could be you. There's stuff going on there, and I'll be like, man, I don't know. I haven't opened the curtains. I don't know. Unless it knocks on my door,
It prevents you from being positive because I don't want to take away from my environment, right? I want to add to it. I want to be I want to be something that people can look to and say, you know, this is a positive thing in my life, you know. But I'm also like my kids look to me, and I can't just shut my eyes, you know.
Right.
Right. So, and anybody else that looks at me, I don't want to be ignorant about it. I'm not saying that you're ignorant because, you know, at some point, if you pay attention too much and there's nothing that you can affect, then you're just really you're just sitting here crying and complaining and that doesn't add anything. But we all need to be aware of, if you vote for this guy, this is what you're voting for. You know, you're voting for, let's give tax breaks to the wealthiest 1%. Of our, you know, country. You're not the wealthiest 1%. You, me, Smokestack, and anybody listening is not in that category, you know. And the benefits that he's providing are not for you. You know, one of my favorite authors of all time is Walter Mosley. I don't know if you've read any of his books, but he's got great stories. He's the one that wrote The Devil with the Blue Dress, that mm-hmm. movie.
Right.
He's got great Fearless Jones books are great. Anyway, Walter Mosley said, if my definition of like wealthy, rich, is if you lose your job today, for the next 6 months or a year, your lifestyle doesn't have to change, you know? But mm-hmm. so most people, that's not the case. Most of us, we need that check, you know, if it's not week to week, you know, it's you need it coming. So yeah. So you're not wealthy, but a lot of us think that we're wealthy. And if we started to realize you're working class, you may have a nice job. You might have a good, you know, 401, but you're working class. You got to work to pay the bills. And when you realize that, then you start to realize who it is you need to support politically, you know. And it's the people that are looking out for the working class. You don't want to, I don't know why you want to support people that look out for that 1%. You know, they're
millionaires and billionaires.
Millionaires
and billionaires. Yeah. And they all got walking.
Mayor Bloomberg. Tom Steyer. You know, they sound, if you listen to what they're saying, it sounds good. They're pressing all the right buttons. But if you look at the core of it, you know what I mean? You want somebody that came up from the hood, from the streets. You want somebody that had, you know, even this Buttigieg guy, you know, he's, you know, openly gay, but he's ex-military. But, you know, some of the things he says I like. I like some of the things that the mayor from New York, what was his name?
Giuliani?
No.
Bloomberg. Bloomberg?
Bloomberg.
No. Giuliani.
Giuliani's crooked.
It's crazy how what's happened to that guy.
Like 9/11, I mean, he was huge. Walking the streets in New York, he was a hero.
Right.
And then as the years passed, I realized how dastardly he really is. He is a dog's dog, Corey. I'm telling you.
Wow. Yeah.
What happened? He got power hungry or something like
that. What happens to these guys? I don't get it. I think money and power corrupts.
That's it. Wait till I get the money. Yeah, wait till my snow blow up.
You're gonna leave
woman first puts heels on. That's a different woman. That's it. You know what I mean? She got a different swagger to her.
everybody always say, oh, I get money, I won't change. You don't know.
Right, no, you don't. Giuliani got all that
power and fame from that 911, and it just went this hideous
shit. But that's interesting. You talk about, you know, we're talking about wealth. The people that are, for the most part, that you see on these cruises, except for the Europeans who are taking 2 months, 3 months, you know, vacations, most people are working class people. These aren't, you know, ultra rich people that are taking cruises. It's attainable. If you save your money, you want to go, you go. There's no sign that says only rich people need to get on this boat.
No, absolutely. I mean, a guy like me, I'm a construction worker. I can make it. I mean, don't think Mr. National is rich. When he gets rich, you'll know people. You'll know. There ain't no doubt about that. But keeping the podcast going, like I say, want to thank Smokestack for joining us. Yeah. P-Double is always at my side. People looking to get to see the stack with that show, we will be back. We'll get this old goat out of that house. We're going to get him in the pub. We're going to get some lemon drop shots, and we're going to do our thing again.
I mean, I could do that. That's the easy part, you know, just to be sociable. But the actual playing part and getting ready, like right now is what, January?
The preparation.
I should have been in training camp like 2 months.
Right. Yeah.
I should have my team I have no passion for it. Zero.
You know, I don't have none. But every year when it comes up, I pull the men out of the thing, and I start running them. And right now, I feel the same way. Yeah. I didn't turn over a lot of the reins of the league, Electric Football League, to Kenny and Steve Talk.
That's
I'm talking, P-Double showing his figures.
Zeke Elliott.
His Dallas Cowboys. Zeke Elliott. I'm gonna let P Double touch on that story real quick. I got those figures, but going back to Stack, you don't feel like playing because you're thinking about all the time and the losing, or if I'm a winner, if I'm gonna be that to me. I want to be competitive, but win or lose is not the thing. Just getting out of the house, going to the pub, seeing these guys that I really wouldn't see no other time, and having a game and just playing a game of EF, you know, is good therapy to me. I mean,
until butt cheeks get tight. When butt cheeks get tight.
Nostrils get flared. The peanut gallery is on your neck.
And the worst thing is when, like, regular people just come up and they, what's all this hubbub? And they go up there and they start watching and they're getting into it and they say, man, you're getting your ass kicked. You just missed a field goal. You can't throw. Your defensive line is weak. You know?
And everybody's looking stacked and like,
get me out there this year. It's called, in Philly, it's called a call out. Because you can go to the pub and someone could like call you out to the street for a fist fight, no big deal. But when you're upstairs and somebody calls you out, that's a whole different thing. You're like, let me go get my bag. I'm going outside. I just happen to have my bag in the car. And you go get that bag and you're like, I'll show you. You know what I mean? It's about face. You know,
right.
Going to the corner. You know, at basketball, someone calls you out to a 5-on-5. That's what it's like in Philly. But it's a great thing. There's two leagues, and like Corey said, there's a lot of brotherhood and friendship there. We've got some DC guys. Phillips chimed in today with an email that I thought was really appropriate. Like somebody was starting to throw hate and shade before the season even started, and he basically said, look, you know what? Here's the leadership. They're not perfect. If they fall down, so what? Here's what's going to happen. Why don't you just stay in your lane? You know what I mean? If you want to play, fine.
Right.
But you're not in the leadership position. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Quit crying about it. Yeah, quit crying
right.
about
yep.
it.
You exactly. get that a lot. You get that a lot. So, yeah. I mean, like I said, I can hear Stack saying his passion is waning, but you got to pick up the box. You got to come out. You got to play.
Win or lose. You know what I mean?
Win or lose. And
especially if something good happens, you know what I mean?
Right. that back breaks three, and he's going 80, and you're like, hasta la vista, sayonara.
See you later, sayonara.
You're throwing up the Viking horns. You can't replace that. We're too old to go out there and play ourselves. Okay?
We can't do anything else.
I can't play pickleball
or beanbag or anything like that. I can't golf. You know what I mean?
This is it. What else is going to fuel?
Anything that you do where you're jumping around, you can feel the organs moving around in your body, that's telling you you're too old. You know what I mean? But electric football, you could do it. All you got to have is your ass and your elbows moving. And
What else is going to fuel that competitive juices? Okay?
I don't know.
When your looper comes in there, that switch ain't even on a second. Boom! You got him!
I can't stop him. He won't listen to me. He's possessed.
You can't replace that. So Stack will be there with his wife.
He counted on him already, huh?
Good. He's done.
One way or the other. If I have, I might step down to Neffel, but I'll be there, but if not 100%. Maybe the next year, like I said, in a year, it'll definitely be different.
Well, electric football on the podcast coming, we're going to get Elgin Clemens on board on the podcast to talk about the MSCA and how he took it over. But right now.
Where's he from, by the way?
He lives in Tampa, Florida, Elgin. So we're going to get him on.
I got some friends in Tampa from work. I know that area. So that's a really neat thing to take and revive something that was really much a fabric of the it really helped.
No, it was everything. It was everything.
So the fact that somebody's stepping up and doing that, I just hope he doesn't get embroiled in this whole Hall of Fame. That's, to me, that's an argument that doesn't even make sense. Get people back to the hobby, to its website, buying stuff, talking about the game. Worry about that Hall of Fame. That's cherry on the top stuff. You don't need
that.
That, new that people don't need to see that animus. You know what I mean? Because soon as you say all
that's
fame,
the whole positivity thing. Like, you can't be blind, but really, what are you bringing? You know, keep it positive. Keep it
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They keep saying
like when women get around, they have like little hobbies, whatever. I'm not downplaying women, but they don't get negative. Like, you know, oh, look at Betty over there. She can't really compete on our level, you know. They don't get involved in those kind of arguments and pettiness. And that's why I think, you know, the ones that are really true to the sport, they rise above that.
Right.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame, I don't know, it should just be tanked. Whoever was in, okay. But it's over. You know what I mean? It was always the... It never had like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It just kept getting uglier and uglier every year because somebody got in and they mad at somebody else. Whole Hall of Fame.
Did you guys see Drew Pearson's video?
I saw that.
When he got snubbed?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's too bad, man.
No, I was happy. I was laughing because he came to Philly and rubbed all that stuff in at the draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, he got snubbed this year?
Yeah, he got butthurt about it too.
He was hurt.
How about T.O.? He got snubbed again?
No, T.O.'s in. T.O. snubbed the Hall of Fame.
T.O. didn't. Yeah, he didn't show up. But now they had the centennial. 15 guys got in, and the irony, the icing on the cake with the Drew Pearson not getting in, Harold Carmichael did. I was an Eagle receiver got in and he didn't. Oh, it was so funny. I was laughing, and it's a video of him talking about it. They do like this.
Yeah, he was pissed, and you can't show that, man. You know?
No. Right. Well, it's nothing.
Was he first ballot, or maybe next time?
No, he's been a while.
Drew Pearson's been on.
I'm sorry, man. If Harold Carmichael's in, Drew Pearson's in. You know.
I don't know. I'm still waiting for Roger Craig, Ricky Waters. The Chiefs got Otis Taylor. So I mean, the pro football needs a Hall of Fame. It's legit. Electric football do not need a Hall of Fame. The game itself is not in the Hall of Fame of toys. So why are you putting people in the Hall of Fame? Okay, so. With all my pretty boy and national and the face of the hobby, the fourth, you never even hear me talk about Hall of Fame because it's something that, you know, was never proud of. It just was bad. I just didn't never like it and never wanted it. So you don't really hear me talking about it, okay? But this weekend, I haven't gotten the results. My main man, Smokestack, knows him very well. Cello, who actually had us, the Stack with Nash Show, break news of his new coming league when he broke away from the LEFL and started his own California Electric Football League. But Cello now is the host of a TOC event, the Fault Line Rumble. Elgin is out there. Our good buddy Steve Toff is out there, so I got to text one of them guys or call them at some point and find out how it went and the results. Maybe we could even get the host himself, Cello, on the Mr. National podcast to talk about how it went.
We should do that.
All right. So that was a great event. Awesome. I just missed that one, guys. I wanted to go, but listen, we talked about the rich and the not so rich and the working class. Just coming off a cruise, there was no way I could go hop on a plane and fly out to L.A. And Steve Tall, a good buddy, he had a room. I said, Steve, I can't afford it. He said, dude, just get here. You don't have to pay me nothing. So I had a free room waiting. Steve Tall was looking out. I mean, Cello said, dude, if you got to stay at my house, whatever you got to do, you know. But I'm not like one to do that. If I'm gonna come, I gotta give something. I mean, I ain't gonna do that. Man, I remember talking real quick. Me and Stack had some days, man. We were both hurting, man. You know what I mean? It was construction was slow. I don't know if Stack was working I think we went out to a Maryland tournament, maybe. and we had the room. We had the room, right? We had the room for one night, and we just split the one night, right? So I'm really telling on ourselves here, Stack. But so we had the room.
What did we do? I forget.
Listen. So
we squalled the room.
Listen, we had the room for one night, and then we was done. The next night, we were just going to go over another coach's house and stay over there. But we had stayed at the tournament, you know, the tournament so long that me or him felt like driving to the other coach's house. So I was like, man, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't feel like riding over that guy's house. He's like, we could sleep in the car. I was like, ah, man. I said, I don't know. I still got my hotel, my car room. I said, let me see if the rooms, if the cars still work. So it was like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. Like, we told everybody, you know, what you guys going to do? You guys going over coach's house? I said, yeah, I think we will. You know, me and Stack going to go out and get something to eat or whatever. So we put our stuff like in the car, and then we came back. I said, let me see if this car works. And I put it up to the door, and the shit opened. The door opened. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, man, so much better than sleeping in the car.
Yeah. Me and Stack, the room was all made up. I mean, I was like, somebody, they get us room to somebody. Somebody come in, we are assed out. We didn't take our clothes off. We didn't get under the covers. We just slept on top of the bed. We caught a quick snooze, and then we got up out of there first thing in the morning. Like, gargled some toothpaste and mouthwash, wiped everything down.
Hell out of Dodge.
That was, you know what I mean? So they talk about, oh, Nashville got money to this and that. Dude, no. We've been
on the top, too. We've been in suites. I mean, we've been the whole gamut. We've been on the top.
The whole gamut. Soup to nuts to you know what I mean, living under the ship like Titanic, like Leonardo DiCaprio. So that was wild. But I want to touch before I end this podcast. It was a question on MFCA on the Facebook. One of the newbie coaches was asking, why is there dark offense and light defense? And I want to think Stack will know, back in the old buzz ball days or when tournaments started, certain coaches, when you pay your fees to play in the tournament, you put your team down. And the first coach paid with that team had that team. So it was everybody went had the Cowboys. Everybody had the Steelers. So there was no way to have multiple teams in the tournament. So what was happening, George Diamond, buzzball master and everything, creator, I guess it was him and Pratt came up with the idea. You know, they were losing as many coaches as signed up, because if you only had one or two teams and those teams were taken, you didn't have enough time to fill a quality team to be competitive in this tournament. So why should I drive this way? Why should I travel? And my team is not my A team. So they started doing offense and dark, defense and white. This allowed 18 coaches. If you had 18 coaches all with the Cowboys, it didn't matter, because it was going to be dark against white. And it was brilliant for a tournament, okay? For a tournament. Some leagues have adapted the tournament style with their league. The Philly NFL tries to emulate the real NFL. So until the NFL comes up with tournament style uniforms for games, the Philly NFL will not adapt that type of uniform. They play dark is home and away is white, just like the NFL. Now, some people say, oh, you're spending more money. It don't matter. That's your team. You have a team in dark and white. You get some of these pretty painted tournament teams, and you got Emmitt Smith in a dark uniform. Oh, that's sweet. What does Emmitt look like in that same uniform in a white? You'll never know, because you got tournament style, okay? So there's pros and cons to both, but the coach that asked the question, that basically is the genesis of where it came from and what it is right now. Point blank.
Nice. Stat. Thank you for answering that.
Yeah.
No, so no, yeah. No, I think he's from my town, actually. The guy.
Yeah. So okay, to ask the question. Yeah. That's why. That's
Charles.
Why. So
Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck is the name.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what how it happened, how it started, and I'm going back to 2099 when Buzzball was running tournaments and wow. and everything else.
Wow.
So that's basically how it came up.
Awesome.
It yeah, that was it. No gray area. It's black and white, dark and light. That's but, how it happened.
Yeah, but the Cowboys always used to wear their white at home. Remember?
Well, yeah, they always found the loophole in it, and they so you always saw the Cowboys. Really, the home team decides, but most
right,
home
right.
teams
where
go
dark.
Dark.
Right.
Miami, Don Shula used to make, and Miami was so hot, he would go white a lot of the times because dark colors draw heat.
Right.
Steelers came into town, he'd make the Steelers wear their black uniforms, burn the hell up, okay?
Right.
So
and somebody figured out that the Cowboys, their dark jerseys were bad luck. It was I don't know if it was Chuck Knoll or Don Shula, but got it in Landry's head that their dark jerseys
yes.
were bad luck, and so they always wore their white jerseys at home.
At home. And then when they got to travel on
the road, they wore
it was
white
already
jerseys.
White.
Right.
So then teams started going against the grain. We yeah. want the Cowboys in the dark, so we're going to play at home in our white.
Right.
So it got
yeah,
all kind of...
I think it was Shula or somebody like
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had John Madden back then, Tom mm-hmm. Flores, Chuck Knox, Chuck Noll, all those great coaches back then. Eric Coryell, that was my era of NFL football right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that tournament style, that's why it works in tournaments. But in leagues, that's what you got. I mean, if you want to play that style, that's what you do. People get too caught up, when you're trying to start a league. Like Sack could tell you, the number one priority should be your venue. Okay. You want a venue that's safe for everybody in your league and anybody that might come. Okay. The pub is perfect. We have off the street parking. And it's safe. It's not in a crime ridden part of the city. And that was, as the guy that took a lot of phone calls for the league, a lot of emails, a lot of guys coming over from Jersey, where Stack is from. Stack is, Jersey native. But a lot of those guys, Jersey is mostly like suburbs, single homes. So a lot of these guys coming over were wondering, you know, can I park my car? Is it safe?
Right.
And
right.
I was like, flat out, dude, you're off the street parking and you will be safe. Okay? You're safe. So when you start your league, get you a nice venue. That is number one. They serve food and alcohol. Buy. They love to see you coming. Get in a public place where people can see what you're doing. Have your brochures and programs out. The crack and plastic mag is out. Sit that out there for people to pick up and look at. So that's how you grow your league. People get too caught up in rules, what equipment, what weight. That's minuscule. The venue and the quality of your coaches. Don't, if you got to beg somebody to play, that guy is probably not going to show up every week.
Right.
So that's what you want. Venue and committed coaches.
Look at that.
I got to see, hey, Stack, I got to see that ugly mug now. Brian Phillips.
It's in his house.
It's in my house.
How many, what magazine is that, the third edition of it?
I think it's a fourth.
Fourth.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. I got to get me a subscription. Who writes all the stories? You write them all yourself?
No, we've got lots of contributors.
Really?
Yeah, Mark Holquin's a great one. Roger Fisher. There's a guy in Oregon, Greg Ingold, who writes a lot of
yeah.
stuff I think you'd like.
Stack, you got to pick one up.
I like to write about things I don't know about and then write the story, like do the research and then just write it.
Yeah, you have an open invitation.
Yeah.
You have an open invitation.
I used to write quite a bit for the, what was that other magazine we had?
The Tweak.
The Tweak.
Yeah, Corey and I used to contribute a lot of stories.
Yeah. Hulk's got Hulk's Corner. He writes an article every issue. So, yeah, it's been great. Yeah, it's easy to put together when you got a lot of people contributing to
It's not a profit motive. This is for the hobby, really.
No. There's a charity here in town that I give all the profits to. So,
awesome.
Not a lot, but.
Well, it's getting close to game time. I gotta make a couple. I gotta get some cigars. I gotta get my hair cut. You know, I got a lot of stuff to do before 3 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah, it's coming up.
And we've been riding along. Hey, Stack, it was great having you.
Yeah.
We almost don't want to let him go. And we want to tell you, you want to write. You're so passionate. And your vocabulary is vast, okay? He knows words that I'm trying to say before I come out. You have the open invitation. The Stack with Nat Show page needs a blog. We need a blog.
Yeah, that'd be a great fit.
We used to, the two topics that we used to laugh the most about was going on an EF trip. Like somebody was post up, like, I need a room. Anyone want to share a room with me? And then we would have a long story about that, which I don't want to get into. And the other one is about funny stories about, you know, people preparing, trying to get your team together and the things that'll go wrong. You know what I mean?
Right.
You might work for 3 months and show up to Philly's opening day and you walk up against someone like,
Creasy.
He'll pull out this giant Warhammer box and open it up and he's got like, multiple trays of teams all in dark. And then you say, well, where's your white team? And you'll flip the box over and he's got 80 more.
Right.
White. Yeah. All, like,
he ain't got to switch bases from white and dark.
Exactly.
He's got both teams totally based up.
And then on the other hand, you see a guy with a little fish tackle box he only has one team and he doesn't practice. And he opens it up, and all the bases are off of it because they've been shaking around. He hasn't done any preparation. And then he's out there trying to compete. And then you're sitting there, like, shaking your head, like, dude, what is this?
That is the worst. That
but
is
at the end
worst
of the day, he's happy. I mean,
this is
part of the game.
Yeah, that is.
A novice, or you could be someone that's totally committed and totally 100%.
The amount of preparation that it takes is pretty daunting. I mean... Man, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
long as you
newbies play. Come on, they're like, what do you think of the Invisibase? I think you're crazy. Even Steve Hoff used to say, I don't buy bases. I bet he's buying them now. Some of them are tweaking his own.
Yeah.
He refused to fall into that trap where, you know, it's like the old paint by numbers, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You would buy a good set. And all of a sudden you became an artist because you could know how to hit the number with the paint. Well, there's no easy solution to building a very competitive team.
It is.
And the newbie comes on, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know about boards. Where do you get the sideline kits? Where do you get the lighting?
Yeah.
What kind of field cover
But when you get into the bases and the tweaking, it's another level.
I mean, it's all competitive. And I mean, to be competitive, you have to
spend some money.
You have to put the time in.
Yeah,
right.
It's like a diet. It's like a diet. Okay, it's no pill. It's no wonder drink. You know, you want to diet. You want to lose weight.
You gotta hit
that gym.
Yeah, you look
every,
at Derek, you look
if
at
you're
Derek
not
Henry.
In Philly, if you're not practicing during the week, and if you can't for whatever reason, Friday night your ass better be up or early Saturday morning. Because if you show up Saturday and you haven't run your men or run your board and done anything to prepare for someone you know is going to bring it, it's not going to be good. You just cannot open your box and show up. You have to put time into it. And I don't know. That's just something I just don't have the passion for anymore.
Shut up. You playing. Get the heck out of here.
I'm not playing.
The crazy thing is he had a passion. He put all the practice in, and he still lost. So it's just come and
it's mental.
Play.
It's mental.
Just come and play. I mean, the guy had the prettiest team practice.
You forgot to mention Andrew as a Green Bay Packer lover. We asked got some guys.
Well, no, he's not. He's not. No. Andrew is not he plays with the Packers. He's not really a Packers fan. Andrew is an Eagles fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So is Greg King. That was, he's Eagles.
I thought he was a true Packer fan.
No. He plays with the Packers. Most people think Ed Roche, who used to play in our league, was a Panthers fan. Ed Roche is a season ticket holder of the New York Giants.
That's just
another level of the passion when you get into EF that you adopt. You know what I mean? You become the team that you're playing with. Even though your real team is something else, I'm fortunate enough to have gotten my real-life team, the 49ers, as my EF team. But there's guys, like I said, Ed Roche, Andrew Stewart, guys that don't even like those teams, but that's the team they play with, and they got as much gear for that EF team as they do for their real team.
That's a good point.
That's the passion that this game, this hobby, this sport brings out. And I can't wait until it hits the big screen. And we got guys like Gridiron Buzz Network. We got RK Games. We got Electric Coach. All doing their due diligent work to show the game in the proper light. Because as we all know, every commercial that came out, every promo that came out for Electric Football isn't always a good one. But I always like to say any.
There's a profile on Arcade Games in this issue of Crack and Plastic. When you get a chance, Corey, you got to read it. It's a good one.
Arcade's a guy, he got kind of a southern accent.
Yeah, he's out of Atlanta.
I like him. I like his passion. But,
He's media.
Buzz Network, those guys really have taken it up another notch.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly Electric Coach. I mean, you guys, to invest the kind of money they do in the equipment and to go to different events, these guys are phenomenal. I mean, you have people like that.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, people listening to the podcast right now, right now, you got the Godfathers who started a lot of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like Reggie Rutledge, I want to call him like he was the seed. Reggie had that vision of the TV shows and all that.
Yeah, he had some great videos about,
Yeah, he had a long time ago. You know what I mean? And the Stack with Nat show came about. And like I said, I told Stack, it's probably goofy or stupid, but let's do it. It's easier for me to sit here and talk about what happened in our games than me typing up an email, giving people the results. And like I say, people took it, they loved it, and we got Gridiron Buzz, we got Electric Coach, we got Arcade Games, but it started with Stack with Nat show, okay?
During the season, it gets so bad, like mid-season, week 7, 8, 9, we do preseason shows.
Oh, yeah, we do preseason, we do the Sweet 16.
We get to the point where the majority, not every coach, are all piped in because they know we're going to start talking about the games last week.
Right.
If you didn't do well and we get to your game, we're going to break it down.
I would get text messages. Don't talk about my game. Just right. Leave me off the show today.
Don't talk about the game.
I mean, hey, it's been a great ride. P-Double was the one to see, that we could keep it going, even though me and Stack wasn't getting together much. He's the man behind this podcast. I hope everybody is liking it. I know Kit Kitchen likes it. And we love Kit. I mean, I know you
good
guys.
Man. Good man.
He is. He's a Trump man, but that don't matter.
Yep. That's a great thing about America.
That's it.
We can agree to disagree.
That's it. There
you go.
Well, thanks
for having me on the show. I got a couple things I got to do. I hope to be connecting with you guys real soon. And I'll take a look at the I want to get some of those editions of the Crack It Plastic. I want to read
I have some with the one with Keith on it, Keith Chalmers. So I have a copy
awesome.
I have for you. Yeah. Okay? So Stack, thanks for coming.
Thank you. You guys have a good day.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast. Now that didn't hurt, did it? Check out this and other podcasts at www.stackwitnationshow.com.